Yoga's journey through American culture reveals one of the most remarkable transformations in our nation's spiritual landscape. What began as a feared heathen practice has evolved into a multi-billion dollar industry embraced across all social strata. This transformation wasn't merely yoga adapting to America. America fundamentally changed yoga. The practice that once shocked Victorian sensibilities now fills studios in every city, adorns magazine covers, and shapes how millions approach wellness. What makes yoga's story particularly fascinating is how it repeatedly challenged American dualities between mind and body. At its core remains a tantalizing possibility. Through disciplined practice, one might become what one worships, whether called God, superconsciousness, or simply the self. This spiritual technology arrived at precisely the moment Americans were questioning traditional religious frameworks, offering a direct experiential path rather than faith-based devotion. The seeds of yoga in America were planted in the intellectual soil of New England transcendentalism. Ralph Waldo Emerson, having left his pastorate to become a lecturer, immersed himself in Hindu texts like the Bhagavad Gita. His poem, Brahma, published in 1857, condensed the yoga doctrine into four short verses, though it confused many readers and became something of a joke among the uninitiated. While Emerson engaged with yoga intellectually, his friend Henry David Thoreau attempted to live it. Thoreau's retreat to Walden Pond transformed him into what some would call America's first yogi. His daily rituals included morning bathing, vegetarian diet, drinking only water, and practicing chastity, all purifications he connected to the mind's approximation of God. Unlike traditional yogis seeking dissolution into Brahman, Thoreau aspired to a different kind of yoga, one that heightened perception while preserving individuality. He transformed writing itself into yogic practice, seeing his artistic labor as devotion. The 1893 World's Parliament of Religions in Chicago became the unexpected gateway for Eastern spirituality to enter American consciousness. Despite organizers' intentions to showcase Christian superiority, Swami Vivekananda emerged as the standout figure, captivating audiences with his articulate presentation of Hindu philosophy. Born in Bengal and motivated by national pride, Vivekananda sought funds for India's impoverished masses. His appeal stemmed from both fulfilling and debunking Orientalist stereotypes. While his scarlet robes and yellow turban satisfied Western expectations of an exotic sage, he confounded them by eating meat, smoking, and speaking fluent English. In his Raja Yoga classes, Vivekananda declared yoga as much a science as any in the world that could make matter our slave. He spoke candidly about sexual energy, symbolized as a tiny serpent coiled up at the spine's base, shocking for Victorian America, where discussing bodily functions was taboo. This was revolutionary. In an era of breath-restricting corsets and rigid separation between spiritual and physical matters, Vivekananda introduced practices integrating body, breath, and consciousness, translating yoga into terms Americans could begin to comprehend. By the 1940s, Los Angeles had become America's spiritual experimentation epicenter. The Hollywood Vedanta Temple attracted influential British intellectuals Gerald Hurd, Aldous Huxley, and Christopher Isherwood, lending authority to Swami Prabhavananda's organization. Despite his monastic status, Isherwood continued screenwriting while maintaining his Hollywood social life. His presence validated Vedanta intellectually, while Prabhavananda's acceptance of the openly gay Isherwood showed remarkable tolerance for the era. The center drew numerous Hollywood figures. Greta Garbo visited, sighing out how wonderful it must be to be a nun. Somerset Maugham sought Prabhavananda's advice on The Razor's Edge. By 1945, the Prabhavananda Isherwood translation of the Bhagavad Gita had sold nearly 250,000 copies. Paramahansa Yogananda also arrived in Los Angeles to significant acclaim. Unlike Prabhavananda, who dismissed the body as a distraction, Yogananda viewed physical well-being as essential to spiritual growth. Within a decade, his Yogadas Satsanga Society established 12 centers nationwide. In 1947, Indra Devi opened a hatha yoga studio on Sunset Boulevard, quickly attracting celebrities like Greta Garbo, Gloria Swanson, and Jennifer Jones. Born Eugenie Peterson in Latvia to Swedish-Russian parentage, she had studied with Sri T. Krishnamacharya, despite his initial reluctance to teach Western women. The 1960s transformed yoga in America. While earlier teachers had stripped yoga to health exercises, the counterculture revived its spiritual aspects through figures like Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert. Aldous Huxley's 1953 mescaline experience, documented in The Doors of Perception, connected psychedelics to religious experience. Leary and Alpert framed LSD as modern yoga made possible by science, and by 1966, LSD use had spread throughout America. The yoga-psychedelics relationship evolved from equivalence to progression. Richard Alpert became Ram Dass, abandoning psychedelics for pranayama and meditation. Allen Ginsberg similarly transitioned from psychedelics to spiritual fulfillment through chanting, demonstrating yoga's power by maintaining peaceful meditation during the chaotic 1968 Democratic Convention. The Beatles' journey to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's ashram for transcendental meditation became a cultural turning point. They claimed they no longer needed drugs for spiritual experiences before leaving amid controversy. By 1969, yoga had deeply penetrated American culture. Swami Satchidananda delivered the invocation at Woodstock, arriving by helicopter to address nearly 500,000 people. By 1974, Time magazine declared yoga was rapidly becoming as much a part of American life as organic apple pie. The Immigration Act of 1965 removed Asian immigration quotas, bringing influential yoga teachers to America. Swami Muktananda specialized in Shaktipat, direct spiritual energy transmission. Even tolerant atheist poet Paul Zweig experienced pure aerial energy merely sitting in the Swami's presence. In 1975, seven Californians launched Yoga Journal with volunteers, attempting to convince Americans that yoga wasn't weird, not voodoo. The magazine balanced scientific articles with spiritual topics. By the mid-1970s, stories of coercion emerged around certain yoga movements. Meanwhile, B.K.S. Iyengar stripped religious elements from yoga, focusing exclusively on poses and pranayama with precise anatomical attention. Hatha yoga's American resurgence featured two key shifts: sweat-inducing practice and increased male participation. Bikram Chowdhury's style featured 105-degree heat, mirrors, and fluorescent lighting, students performing 26 poses twice in 90 minutes. Sri K. Pattabhi Joyce introduced Ashtanga yoga to America in 1975, teaching an austere practice emphasizing continuous breath-linked movement. Though different in approach, both teachers reintroduced religious elements through physical rigor, requiring devotional 6-day-a-week practice. By the mid-1990s, urban yoga and power yoga emerged, marketed for cardiovascular benefits. Madonna's 1998 Ray of Light album with Sanskrit chants marked yoga's mainstream arrival. From 1998 to 2002, American practitioners tripled from 6 million to 15 to 18 million, generating billions in revenue. This evolution revealed yoga's paradox, serving as both indulgence and penance, offering physical transformation alongside spiritual awakening. Daily, practitioners continue this tradition, unrolling mats like prayer rugs and finding their practice within urban life. In studios nationwide, ancient Sanskrit mantras blend with modern music as practitioners in designer leggings perform postures developed millennia ago. Few cultural imports have so thoroughly penetrated American life while preserving their spiritual essence. Yoga succeeded by offering something uniquely valuable, a bridge between physical wellness and spiritual fulfillment in an increasingly fragmented world.